We're in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, which now looks at the church community and the role of pastor, elders, and members in living in a world which is opposed to us. And we've started looking at the role of elders, and these are the leaders in the church, and we have the spiritual oversight, and I, as the pastor, set apart, one of the elders set apart to minister the word. So last Sunday evening, we just looked at the identity of pastor and elders, and especially the fact that we are fellow elders with the great apostle Peter. That elevates the office of an elder, but that Peter should say that he's a fellow elder with us ordinary people, that means he was humble and we should be as well. So tonight we just want to go on to look at the work, especially of the pastor, but this could be included in what elders do. Let's read verse 1 again. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Isn't that a lovely piece of exhortation? Now, this picture of us as the flock is throughout the Bible. And Christ, of course, is the chief shepherd of the sheep. David said in that famous psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus referred to himself then as the good shepherd. But even in the Old Testament, those who were leaders in the church have been considered as under shepherds. So Moses, for example, is called one whom God took from looking after the sheep of Jethro to becoming a shepherd of God's people. And I think it's one of the most beautiful descriptions of a pastor. He's not a CEO. He is a shepherd, well, an under-shepherd, with Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. Now then, what is the duty? Let me remind you, Peter here isn't writing to pastors. He's writing to ordinary church members. So we all need to know what pastors are supposed to be doing. So what is the job description? Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. Now then, what does that mean? Let me use some comparisons from the work of a shepherd, especially in Bible times, and apply them to us under shepherds. What was the first thing that the shepherd would be doing in Bible times? Well, he'd be protecting the little flock of sheep. There'd be wolves who would come in and ravage them if it were not for the shepherd keeping them at bay. And didn't the Apostle Paul, when he addressed the elders at Ephesus, warn them that in the future there'd be wolves coming, even from their own midst? And how did Jesus put it? Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the subtlety. And oh, don't we need pastors who have a spiritual discernment to be able to recognize a wolf when he comes? So pray for us. Pray for this pulpit, that God would protect it and that he would deliver us from wolves that will scatter the flock. So that's one thing that a shepherd does. He protects the flock. But then, this is what Peter's really getting at. Shepherd the flock, in the Authorized Version, a different word is used. Feed the flock. Feed. That's what a pastor is really doing. A pastor is a chef. He is spending his time preparing spiritual food. And then on the Lord's Day, he is serving it. And this is why we're gathering in God's house every Sunday. it's a banquet. It's not some religious ceremony we're going through. We are coming here to worship our God and to be fed from his word. And this is why, I don't know if you've noticed this, it really gladdens my heart when people pray on Wednesday night for me and for other pastors that God would give them messages from himself. That's what we're about. I'm not interested in leading you in the way that I will have us go. And we've got to be careful of that. If you think of the shepherds in Bible times, they were not like shepherds today. Shepherds today go behind the flock and they'll have their sheepdog. They'll be on their 4x4s and they'll be riding behind the flock. But in the Bible, the shepherd was at the front of the flock. And the shepherd would be going ahead of the sheep, and he'd be looking out for the right kind of pasture. And he might be checking to make sure that there are no snake holes and that there are no thorns and that the ground isn't too rocky. He'd be going ahead of them. Please pray for me and other pastors that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lead us to the pastures where he will have us feed. You know, that's important. I don't know how long we'll take to finish 1 Peter, but pray that where we go next, it won't be my idea, but where Jesus will have us go. That's so important. I can't overemphasize that. And then, nourishing food in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day. Not our dainties, not some luxurious fare, but our daily bread. The kind of food that the Saviour will have us feed on is what is profitable to our souls. How many young pastors especially can fall into the trap of wanting to bring new things all the time. That's not what we're about. Whatever new things we enter into really should be the old things, but seen in a fresh light. I think it was C.S. Lewis who put it like this. Christ, when he gave his commission to Simon Peter, he said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." C.S. Lewis said, he didn't say, let me get it right, "Teach new tricks to my performing rats. Feed them. There'll be lambs. There'll be older sheep. Feed them. Not with the latest fads, which will soon go out of fashion. They'll soon lose their taste. With the good food of my word." You know what the false shepherds did? They would scatter the flock because they would bring in other things. Jesus said, "My sheep, hear my voice." The greatest compliment a pastor can have is to be told, "The Lord spoke to me through your ministry." I'm not interested in preparing great sermons. I remember going to a conference many years ago, and the speaker was telling us that we should prepare messages that will be publishable. What utter ridiculousness. That's not the intention. It's to bring food to the people of God. If I'm not feeding you, or if the Lord isn't feeding you through me, then we're just playing. And Jesus didn't say, thinking of the commission we had in the reading, "Peter, feed my giraffes." He didn't say that, did he? He didn't want Peter to give a lecture that hardly anybody but those with a degree could understand. He said, "Feed my sheep, Peter. Peter, prepare good, honest food. Peter, it doesn't matter how you offer it, just offer it to them. Peter, we're not interested in some fancy dining. We just want to be fed. Oh, may we as a people want food, spiritual food. So that's the main thing that Peter is exhorting the elders to do, to feed. That's really what a pastor is all about, to bring the word and to do it in the power of the Spirit, to pray that the Lord will be leading us as a flock by leading us to that part of Scripture where we should feed. You know what sheep are like. They're so stupid in and of themselves. They think they know what is best, whereas the good shepherd will even use his stick to try and bring them in the right way. Oh, may the Lord have such dealings with us. Oh, may we not be stiff-necked like the children of Israel were. May we be malleable under his influence. And then there's one other thing a good pastor will do, a good shepherd will do. He'll sometimes give one-to-one attention to the flock. He may notice a sheep going astray, and he will go after it, even if it takes a lot of trouble. He will see another sheep that is weak and sickly, and what will he do with that? Oh, he'll give that sheep special attention. He may even carry that sheep upon his shoulders. And we have the description, don't we, of the great shepherd. He knows each one of his sheep by name. I'm astounded at that. That this is a large congregation. Jesus Christ knows every one of us. But it's not just us, it's all of his people. He knows. He knows even the very hairs on our head. Have you heard of Eric Alexander? He was a pastor up in Glasgow in the Tron Church. Very powerful preacher. And I think his congregation was the same size as this. And I was told about Eric Alexander that every Sunday when he stood at the door greeting people, he knew the name of each person. Amazing. Stuart Olliott's, when he was pastor of Belvedere Road in Liverpool, sometimes during the week, Stuart would go into the empty church and he would pray for each member of the flock by sitting in the pew where that person would usually occupy. And he would go all the way around the church doing that. Oh, what pastors having their people on their hearts. So that's the first thing. Shepherd the flock. Feed especially the flock. Now, there are other aspects of this. We'll come to next time, God willing. But then, I want to notice one more thing before we finish. Look at the way Peter describes the flock. Shepherd, not just any flock, but the flock of God. That's who we are. The flock of Jesus Christ. Do you know what Jesus' most prized possession is? Do you know who he calls the apple of his eye? Do you know, as one who rules the whole universe, what is nearest to his heart? It's you and me. Because we're his people, his flock, his children. I don't know how many of you in a few weeks' time will be going to hear Handel's Messiah. I can't work out what the best part of that oratorio is. But one of my favorite parts is this. They're verses from Isaiah 40. He will, notice not the under-shepherd, but through the under-shepherd, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. And he goes on to say, lovely, he will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You know, some pastors, they call their congregation my church in a wrong way. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. The flock of God. And you know what? what Jesus said to Simon Peter when he recommissioned him in John 21, how did he frame the exhortation, feed my sheep? How did he put it? Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Now, if we pastors are to be good pastors, especially in feeding the sheep, do you know what the key is? To love Christ, the chief shepherd. The more we love him, the more we love you, the people. And for us as sheep, how will we love one another more? Oh, what a mixed bunch the Church of Jesus Christ is. Even when you think of our little church here, what a motley crew we are. Different ages, different interests, different nationalities, different this, different that, different foibles. What a flock. How can we love one another fervently, as Peter has been saying? By loving Christ more. And then we'll begin to see one another as he sees us. And that's where we pastors sometimes get it wrong. When you go to a pastor's conference, it's always the fault of the poor people. If only we pastors would see our sheep as the chief shepherd sees us. I don't know if it's in Wittenberg Cathedral, but somewhere in Wittenberg, where Martin Luther was, there is an altarpiece, a painting. And it's got Luther preaching on the right side. And the congregation listening to him on the left side. And in the center, it's Jesus Christ crucified. And the congregation, they don't see the preacher. They see Jesus Christ crucified. Pray for us preachers that you wouldn't hear us or see us. It would be Christ. But then the preacher doesn't see the people. He sees Jesus Christ crucified. And if he sees the people, he sees them through Jesus Christ crucified. Pray that we pastors in lifting Christ up would see the people as Christ sees them. And then there's one more phrase. This is the flock of God. And look at the way it is put. There are different words in different translations, but let me just get the meaning. We're still on this second point, the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you or over you. You've been given this flock. And then a little later, verse 3, those entrusted to you. What is that about? It's quite astounding. How come a pastor is sent to a certain congregation? It's not his choosing. It's not even the choice of the congregation, foremostly. It's the chief shepherd that has entrusted that congregation to that pastor. It is God who's brought pastor and congregation together. I think we forget that these days, don't we? Oh, how many churches resort to advertising as if a pastor can be a commodity. Oh, how many churches without pastors are looking for men in terms of what they would like without asking what would our Saviour have us as a pastor. Ted Donnelly, very helpful book. The flock entrusted to the under-shepherd. In Bible study on Monday, we've been looking at Joshua, and the land was divided among the children of Israel. And the word entrusted is the same word as the portion of the land given to each tribe. So, this is how Ted Donnelly puts it. We are in the promised land, inheritors of the blessing. How much better. And this is not just for pastors, but for you as Christians. You are where God has put you. How much better to be spending our lives tending a rocky outcrop in Israel than to grow fat in the rich flatlands of doomed Egypt. Did you get that? We are where our chief shepherd has placed us, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the flock, and some pastors will have an allotment that's very large. They will have huge congregations, maybe, that they will have much fruit. Other pastors, still sent by the chief shepherd, will have an outpost far away in the kingdom. They may have rocky ground with little growth. They may only have a small flock of sheep to look after. But they shouldn't complain, because they are still looking after the flock of God, just as much those who are in a larger church. The key is this: it's his flock, whether it's a large flock or a small flock, whether it's good times or bad times. It's the flock that has been purchased by Jesus Christ. And oh, I'd rather be looking after God's people than having a top job somewhere in the world. And my friend, you are better off where God has put you, with all of the limitations, than trying to do your own thing. You are much better off. I think, I may be wrong, but I think I'm right, that God often sends his best servants to the hardest places. Hudson Taylor, going all the way to China. I think the last day will reveal men who we thought were successful preachers. Really, it was all on the surface. And men who seemed to have little congregations, little fruits, to be the choicest of God's servants. Saeed has mentioned to me pastors who've been persecuted in Iran and maybe gone to prison, and then being released and going to live to America and becoming Christian celebrities, famous, losing something. And other pastors not being imprisoned, but toiling away, dying 1,000 deaths in obscurity. I think the chief shepherd takes more notes of those people. We're all where God has put us. I just want to finish with this. I never thought I'd become a pastor. When I was saved, I said to my parents, there's two things I'll never do: become a school teacher and become a minister. And I ended up being both. I used to live in Cardiff before I was pastor of this church, and I was in the Welsh Evangelical Church where Gwyn Williams was pastor. And do you know what my job was? At the door, every Sunday, I'd be greeting people at the door. And I'd been happy doing that, continuing to do it. And I'm in good company, because do you know what the psalmist said? You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance. It doesn't matter whether I'm in a big fertile place or whether I'm in a little rocky outcrop. You are my portion. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And then the psalmist says, another psalm I think, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. A doorkeeper. So whether you're a pastor, or whether you're serving teas and coffees, or whether you're stewarding, whatever you do, realize you're serving this great shepherd. Can I finish with some words? There was a missionary in the 6th century called Columba. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a missionary to Scotland, a very, very powerful servant of God. And I think he was aware of the Psalm 84:10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. And he prayed this prayer. And I think this would be a brilliant prayer for every one of us. Those of us who are pastors and those of us who are doing even the stewarding. I'm not belittling it. Even the giving of a cup of water to somebody. Listen to this. Almighty Father, Son and Holy Ghost, eternal, ever-blessed, gracious God, to me, the least of saints, to me, allow that I may keep a door in paradise, that I may keep even the smallest door, the furthest door, the darkest, coldest door, the door that is least used, the stiffest door, if so it be, but in thine house, O God, if so it be that I can see thy glory, even after, and hear thy voice, O God, and know that I am with thee, O God. Are you willing to be just a doorkeeper if it's in the house of God? For his name's sake. Amen.